It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Mass.
You're not going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
So a question we found nearly as egregious on this Athletic poll was this one. Was your reaction to Rob Gronkowski leaving New England for Tampa? Was it different than Brady? Because again, remember, 69% of you, interesting number there for Gronkowski, 69% of you said there was no one to blame for Brady's departure. It was just time. It was meant to be. So they asked you, was your reaction to Gronkowski any different? Turns out, nope, wasn't any different. 68.4% of you, almost the exact same amount, said nope, they both had great runs, time to move on.
And that's ridiculous, because while I felt pretty neutral about Brady leaving, I did think it was time, but ultimately I blame Bill. With Gronk looked like a fool, because he completely manipulated the situation, screwed them over last year, so they were basically, you know, had the cupboard bare at that position, and then said he was done, and he tried all these different avenues, either working at Fox or trying to pitch CBD stuff, and nothing worked, and he decided, oh, you know what? Tom's gone. You're where now? Tampa? Oh, I'll join you there. It was just it was handled so terribly.
Folks, again, I'll just repeat myself. Tom Brady's small Q quit on you the last couple of years. He put in less effort than he had previously. He had checked out to a certain degree. Again, I don't want to say he quit on you because that's too strong. He certainly cared and still put in good effort. But it wasn't the effort he had in the past. He had 1 foot out the door here the last couple of years on this team. And I think that's obvious now. Never mind the off seasons, but how he invested in his teammates, trusted his teammates, the whole kit and caboodle. He had started to detach himself from the team. Gronkowski flat out quit. Large Q, capital Q, quit. Quit. Because he hated Bill Belichick, didn't want to play for him. It was too hard here. He was too mean of a boss. It was too exacting a culture. And he flat out quit to go do nipple tequila shots for a year in a stupid pink tank top in Miami, is what he did. And as soon as Tom Brady got out, he re-entered the league and joined him. And so Brady and Gronkowski essentially, to different degrees, quit on you. And you're going to say, nope, it was just meant to be for both of them? What is the matter with you? How soft have you gotten? How soft is the readership of The Athletic, if that's how you really feel?
I mean, I found that Gronkowski response to be, frankly, demoralizing. I mean, talk about the complete ballsiness of the New England fan now. That's the stage we've reached where Gronk, let's not forget, the Gronk thing was going on for years. You know, the injuries, the trade to Detroit, Gronk's going to retire. That came out on Super Bowl night, the first time we heard about that. And then all of a sudden, Gronk's holding out, can't give them their word, strings them along, they don't have a tight end, and somehow all of that's Belichick's fault. See, so this is another thing, too. Bill bent over backwards a little bit for Gronk. Gave Gronk some latitude. What did Gronk do? Gronk screwed him. And the fans still say it was meant to be? I mean, get a bikini wax while you're at it.
Jeez.
Seriously, talk about ballless.
Oh, my God. I mean, you're really okay with that? Rob Gronkowski quitting on you because Bill was a mean boss? I guess he's hard to play for. It was too tough here. And so he quits on you. He refuses to play and then shows up the next year as soon as Brady gets out of here. And now he's a Buccaneer with Tom Brady. You're okay with that? Like, it's just meant to be? There's just nothing you could do about it? You got to blame someone. You can blame Gronkowski or you can blame Bill. You can say Bill should have changed his way for a great player like Rob Gronkowski and done more to bring him back. You can blame Kraft, should pay him more. You can blame a bunch of people. You just can't tell me that that's just meant to be. And that's how it's okay. It was just time. Like, that was just ridiculous.
I mean, the Gronk thing, really, it is, that's preposterous.
I mean, and again, I'm saying this is the Athletic polling. They don't give us any of their metrics, so you have no idea. They just said they're readers. So they're not a huge site yet. They don't have a huge following yet. I mean, they do have certainly a decent one. I think they're an excellent site. But they don't have a huge following. And as I mentioned before, it is a different kind of site. They've largely intentionally stayed away from the flame throwing. They've left the hot take artistry to guys like Maz and I, and you know, Kellerman and Stephen A. and ESPN and Fox Sports, and you know, Colin Cowherd and those guys. The Athletic really goes for feature writing and analysis and things like that, and they aren't bomb throwers, and so maybe this voting reflects their leadership. I'm sorry.
Readership,
not leadership, but both, actually. It's what they wanted the site to look like and read, and this is their readership, where it was all just sort of meant to be and no one's to blame. And so I guess that's consistent with how the Athletic does business and maybe with the people who read them. But I would say to both of those people, why do you watch sports? Like, that is so not fun. It's just meant to be. The whole point of doing this is to say, I think this team's going to win, or I think this guy's good and that guy sucks, or I think he made the right pick here or the wrong pick there, and then see how it all plays out, and then the next day say, he was right, he was wrong, he did well, he did poorly, he's to blame, he's to credit. Like, that's the whole thing. That's why we do it. Like, you watch sports for the next day not to blame anybody? That's the, like, Murray's whole existence is Schadenfreude, is watching the loser and reveling in the loser. Like, how could you be...
And that's not just in sports. That's life.
Approaching that thing from such a neutral standpoint is like, is that any fun?
Well, we're living in increasingly sensitive times, Mike. I guess maybe we're just relics for feeling that way.
So is that the Athletic? Everyone gets a medal? We're not going to blame anybody?
Yep.
Everyone made the right call. Everyone's doing the right thing. It's just, this is the way it broke this time. It was just meant to be. That doesn't sound like much of a story to me. Or the, I know, I hate to lecture the Athletic, but if that's like the whole ethos, it's like I need a little more, you know, hair on your nuts than that. Someone's to blame. Someone's right. Someone's wrong.
How can you grow your hair on your nuts when you don't have any nuts?
Man alive. What's your reaction to Gronkowski? What's your reaction to Gronkowski quitting on you, refusing to play, and then showing up in Tampa when Brady left you? Ah, they both had great runs. Time to move on. 68%. Are you serious? So we try to correct it with our own polling, with a Twitter feed that does have quite a bit of hair on its nether regions. Tony, Maz, and us. And so we've asked it. Maz, we went back and asked the Brady question. How did you ask it?
Who deserves the most blame for the departure of Tom Brady?
Okay. And after much debate, we allowed that fourth option, the it was just meant to be option, to see how many of you people really feel that way. And so I'm happy that that number's gone way down in our polling, but it's still way too high. What are the results so far, Miss?
Okay, so I'm going to read them from the answer that got the lowest support to the one that got the highest. Robert Kraft, 3.8%. Tom Brady, 25.4%. Bill Belichick, 35.1%. And once again, it was just meant to be in the lead, 35.7%. Now, that is basically half the number that the Athletic had in its poll, but still, more people believe that it was just meant to be than there was, than believe blame was due any one party.
Oh, my God.
And that's tainted. And people are just doing that to bust
balls. Okay, they must, because we lost our mind off the 2 o'clock hour to, you know, because I hate that result. It was just meant to be. How could you say it was just meant to be, or it's just time to move on? When Tom Brady is still playing at a high level, you're still competing for Super Bowls, and he left you over either one of two things, a personality conflict or money, or a combination of both. How is that meant to be, or how could you say that's just time to move on? No. Someone didn't want to pay him. Someone didn't want to commit to him, or he didn't want to commit to you for various reasons that, you know, he sort of grew into, that he did not, that did not exist with him in his first 17, 18 years here in New England. He got a different value system, so he left you, or you cheaped out and didn't want to pay him, or you got ego and you said, no, it's about me and not you, and so we're going to show you the door. In none of those cases was it meant to be. What was meant to be is Tom Brady finishing his career as a New England Patriot, playing at a high level. And that's what everyone wanted, and that's what everyone expected it to be. That's what was meant to be, and you know it. So now, what? 3 months later, you're going to twist yourself into a pretzel to think that, nope, this now him playing for the worst franchise in sports, the losingest franchise in sports, which is what the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are. That was meant to be. Holy crap. Don't tell me you've gone that soft. But anyway, so our polling has it down half of what the Athletic polling had. It's still too high. 35% is still too high. So I know this is not the most, the freshest topic since we've been pounding it for 3 months. But, I mean, what can
sometimes
I tell you?
Sometimes it needs a pounding.
Yeah, well, that polling, you know, brought me right back to it. It brought me right back to it. So what do you think?
What do you do with a poll? You pound.
Jeff in the car. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, guys. So, you know, I blame Belichick for getting rid of Tom Brady, just like I blame Belichick for getting rid of Richard Seymour.
Of course.
And am I going to blame him 2 years from now when Tampa Bay is in the second year of Brady's contract and everything goes kaput and Brady, you know, everything falls apart? No.
No, you're going to credit him.
Belichick left. People go.
Okay, your phone's not good enough. Belichick's responsible. You say blame or credit? I credit him. I think he made the tough, right, hard call. But he's definitely responsible. He's the one responsible for it. Make no mistake. That's the obvious answer. Of course it's Belichick. But when you say he did the same thing he did with Richard Seymour, the same thing he did with Lauri Malloy, the same thing he did with Randy Moss, the same thing he did with a lot of guys. They're not all exact, you know, apples to apples, but you know, they're essentially the same thing. Moving on from a guy who might be too old, making too much money that Bill thinks they can net out and be a better team, even if they go down in talent at that one position. Yep, he's done the exact same thing. Began with Belichick, ends with Belichick. It's his responsibility, Maz.
Brady pushed for it, Mike. Brady pushed for it. Okay, again, and I'll tell you, like, you know, I'm getting emails during the show like always, and some people raise points naturally that I didn't even think of, but that are valid. So Brady, again, throws a tantrum when Garoppolo's still here after the draft. They finally trade him, and then Brady wants out. So it's not enough for them to trade the successor. He then has to get everything else on top of it. And more importantly, more than anything else, his attitude changed. Like, I just don't understand, and I mean this sincerely, I just don't understand how people can praise Brady for being humble, for his humility, for his willingness to take a discount, for his willingness to be for the team first, and then at the end say, yeah, stick it to him, Tom! Well, like, Brady's values changed at the end.
Yeah,
they
and,
did.
And, but
and yes. So Bill said, you know, we're going to go year to year. That's the way we're going to do it here at the end. Brady asked for the franchise tag to be taken out. Brady wanted out. Brady pushed for it. Brady's the one who wanted the breakup.
Well, he wanted the leverage in negotiations. And Brady definitely changed, and I think changed for the worse. But you've got to admit, most teams, 98% of the teams out there would have appeased the, you know, they would have accepted the changes and gone along with the changes. He's more high maintenance. We have to bend for him. He wants more, considerations. We'll give him more considerations because he's, you know, such a great player and so important to us. So we're going to bend to his changes. The Patriots are one of those rare teams that wouldn't. Belichick, and they did a little bit before they finally had enough. But you have to admit, most teams out there, most every circumstance would bend to the changes of that star player.
Yeah, again, you know how I feel. I think ultimately this is going to be best for everybody. But if you're asking me whose behavior ultimately affected the break or caused the breakdown of the relationship, Brady.
Well, like I said, at least you're picking somebody. At least you're, you know, existing at the adult table.
Yeah, I have a real opinion.
Oh, my
he
God.
He started blowing off workouts during the offseason. He became a diva.
Fine.
He did. He became a brat. And so he was the one that was acting differently.
At least it's not like, again, that these Patriots fans, 69% for the Athletic, 35% to us. It was just meant to be. My God. Am I talking to Celtics fans? Where it's like, everything, yes, we just got smoked in the playoffs, but look at all of our draft picks. And we know the whole thing just blew up and Kyrie Irving blew up the whole team, but Danny will figure it out. It's always, you know, you never have a bad day. It's always just meant to be. You'll always figure it out. Again, that's Celtics fans. Never have a bad day. Is this who I'm talking to now with the Patriots fans? This was an ugly, unnecessary divorce. This was ugly. This was a personality conflict. This was a money conflict. This was with sore feelings and all of it. Don't delude yourself. It was just meant to be. Give me a break with that. So we'll pick this up on the other side with you. Don't go anywhere.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Felger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Maz.
The guy's psychotic.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Stop it.
Right back to your phones, as promised. I've been waiting patiently. Do me a favor. Hold it like a pizza. Speak clearly, John in Rockland. Go ahead, John.
Hey, see, I believe it's Belichick and Brady, because I believe Brady's sarcastic comment. And like Ryan Clark said on Get Up this morning, it's because of the Belichick or the Patriot way. That's why they're both him and Gronk are gone.
Okay, so I said the hold it like a pizza to that guy because I knew there was a questionable connection there.
Yeah, it's Belichick and Brady. I think it's both Belichick and Brady.
Hold it like a tall boy.
You have to pick someone. You can't say it was meant to be. Not the way it happened. Not the way it happened. I'm sorry. If you're watching the simulcast, Mass is demonstrating. We say hold
it.
Like
hold it like this.
Okay. Okay. The cell phone. The great irony of the cell phone is that it was not meant to be used as a phone. Okay. It's just a little computer that sometimes people make the mistake of having to. Well, there's no landlines anymore, so you got to speak into it. So you hold it like a pizza. You hold it right up against your mouth and talk like that. If you put it out like this, it ain't going to work. We won't be able to hear you. It was not meant to be that he goes to Tampa. It was not meant to be. And it was not meant to be that his trainer got thrown out of the building. It wasn't meant to be that he wanted a contract and they wouldn't give it to him. It wasn't meant to be that Bill threw him under the bus when he was deflating footballs. It wasn't meant to be that Brady was expecting the team to come around on a contract and instead they said, here's incentives. It wasn't meant to be that the hardest working guy in football stopped showing up in the offseason. That wasn't meant to be. That's no fairy tale. That's just the way it works. No. There was a breakdown there, and that's why Tom Brady's a Buccaneer. So who's responsible? Bobby in Arlington. Go ahead, Bobby.
I think Brady's more responsible. He didn't get the contract he wanted, sure, but once he didn't get the franchise tag put on him, he still acts like a bitch the whole year. I mean, you can go back and remember he wouldn't even name the tight ends when he was talking about them with the media. He was, you know, a baby, basically every press conference when they're winning. And then when you say that any team would have, you know, given him that contract, you're wrong. He was just an unrestricted free agent, and look at where he ended up.
Well, no, not any team. I'm just saying most teams. Most teams would have bowed to Brady and given him what he wanted. So he didn't pull that act. The act that you're talking about, he acted like a bitch, I kind of agree with. That's a little strong. I don't know if I'd use the B word. But he was un-Brady-like, I think, as the last couple of years played out. Even winning the Super Bowl. You know, I think it started the Super Bowl year. I really do, as crazy as that sounds. But I think it certainly took hold last year, and it was unbecoming of him. But I still think most teams would have given in to him and given him what he wanted and would have kept him at the contract that he wanted. And so Belichick did not, and that's why I think he's most responsible. Here's Tom and Quincy on the MLB stuff, the very latest. Hi, Tom.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey,
we've all known since this started going on between, you know, these ridiculous offers back and forth, the players were never going to budge off the dollar amount. You know, so they kept, you know, the owners coming back, less games, less prorated money. The plays the whole time, it's been about, I got to get mine, I got to get my 100% of the proration, all that stuff. And if this goes to this nuclear option type situation where Manfred institutes the 50 games, I'm convinced that none of those guys are going to play. And all I'm thinking about is back when they had the strike in 94, remember the first couple of years before the home run race were not good, okay? And they were able to gimmick it up and let the guys juice the hell out of themselves to get some, you know, get some fans back interested in the game. If this goes to where it looks like it's going to go, where there's a total labor issue and a work stoppage, how the hell are they going to be able to get fans back interested in this game without the ability to juice up the guys to just hit bombs left and right?
Yeah, how do they recover this time, Mass?
Well, they'd have to have major rule changes that would make the game more watchable. And so that's what they would have to do. That'd have to be part of the CBA talks. And look, I understand Tom's point. I'm not convinced, though, that the players won't show. Like, you know, there are, you know, some of them won't. I mean, and when I say some of them won't, guys that can come up with legitimate health reasons, they probably won't show. But the other ones, I mean, they're under contract to play. And if the commissioner has the power to set the schedule, I think they run the risk of, you know, potentially having their contracts voided if they don't show up.
Well, the only solution there is a strike. And are they, they've already really set new lows in these times. Would they willing to be go actually to that length to actually pull a strike? To actually during these times?
I don't think so. I mean, I think that they would play.
If any A-holes would, though.
Say it again, Murray.
If any A-holes would, they would.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I just think that, I mean, I rule out nothing. Don't get me wrong. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if it happened, but I think that they would play.
Cam in Taunton, you want to follow up on the baseball?
First of all, guys, I love it when you tell people to hold the phone like a pizza, but yet you get mad when they're rambling on. If they're holding it like a pizza, they can't hear you.
Well, here's the solution. You put the speaker function on, and you just hold it like a pizza, but it's on the, and you're not talking to us on your speaker, but you can hear it through the speaker function. You know what I'm talking about, right? Like, so you still should be able to, but the whole point is just be quick, and we don't have to worry about this back and forth. You give your take in 30 seconds, and you get off.
Or get a better phone.
Anyway, Cam, sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. And here's my take. To Rob Manfred, Tony Clark, go to hell. This entire sport, all of you, other than the PGA Tour and NASCAR, which are back, there's no sport more easy to come back from and play in a social distance world than Major League Baseball. And you decided to get into a labor war instead. This game, from the top on down, from Manfred to the Players Association to the teams, there's no accountability, there's no leadership, there's nothing in this game that are they're tone-deaf morons that don't understand that their game is dead. It's not dying, it's dead, outside of Boston, New York, and Chicago, and St. Louis. The game doesn't matter to anybody. Go to hell, all of you.
So true. The obliviousness is what blows me away. They don't get that no one cares other than some locals in their local markets. Otherwise, you are golf and NASCAR or the NHL as a national TV product. You are closer to that than you are to these other sports that we talk about.
I kind of like the idea of a 50-game schedule. Honestly, I think it's pretty good. And as I think about it, if you're a Red Sox fan, you should be doing cartwheels over this. Because last year after 50 games, and this has been pointed out ad nauseum, the Washington Nationals were 19-31. The point being that the World Series winner can play badly for 50 games. And there are lots of teams who didn't make the playoffs that can play well for 50 games. It's totally doable. If this goes to 50 games, you're in it.
Meanwhile, who do you blame on the Brady thing? We don't live in a blameless world, especially a blameless sports world. How do you have a sporting viewpoint, a sporting worldview that does not include blame? Like that's the essence of being a sports fan. That's the funnest part of it. Who do you credit and who do you blame? Especially in something like this, this kind of divorce that was, I'm sorry, totally unnecessary. Who do you blame? Who's responsible? Tony and Stoneham, who is responsible?
Very easy who's responsible. It's Belichick. And I'm going to tell you why. You know, you drive me crazy, Mike, because are you hammer is this the spring practices and all that. I don't blame Brady one bit for not showing up for those. It didn't cost the team anything. He won Super Bowls without showing up, et cetera.
Bowl, singular, one bowl.
One bowl, okay. Here's why I blame Belichick. He made a commitment to Brady when he traded Garoppolo. And we all know why he traded Garoppolo, because he couldn't sign him to the contract that Garoppolo is going to demand. So that's it in a nutshell. You can twist it, spin it all you want. Now, what he did is he didn't do for Brady what needed to be in the team, what needs to be done to give him the material that he needed to win. This last receiving core was absolutely the worst Brady ever had, probably one of the worst in any football season for any team.
Okay, Tony. I mean, I understand, but this I don't give Brady. This I don't. It was on the list because Brady put it on the list. Look at what they're surrounding me with. But it started with his contract and how he was treated by Belichick. Because for the vast majority of Brady's 18 years here, he was not surrounded by much. He had those years with Moss and Welker, and that was certainly prolific. But for the most part, he got more out of the pieces around him than were originally there. You know, from the first incarnation with David Patton and Troy Brown and that group, to the Deion Branch, David Givens grouping, to what came after Moss. He always worked with the players that he had and got more out of them than you would normally think that they had to give on paper. They were greater than the sum of their parts for the vast majority of Brady's time here. And that's because he was so brilliant at working with those players. I think his patience level for those kind of players waned as his contract didn't come through and he got sick of being treated the way he was being treated by Bill. So I think one was a product of the other.
So Brady changed.
Yes, exactly. Brady changed. Absolutely. And the Pats wouldn't change along with him, and most teams would. But to me, Brady changed. And, in past years, Brady would have gotten more out of the group that he got out of last year. But he had, you know, like I like to say, he had one foot out the door already, so he was not fully invested. If that were 10 years ago, given him the same group, they would have been a better offense. But he had grown. So I don't give you that one, Tony. Here's a Murray's update, and we're right back.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
It's not complaining.
Oh, you had a mean boss. Aw.
It's just Felger.
No. It's always no.
Felger, Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, it's Maz. I'm on the part three here at Red Tail. I don't know if you can see the pin up there. 161 yards. I grabbed a 7-iron. It's a little uphill in the hole. I'm not kidding you. Hole in one. First one ever. Suck on that, bitches.
So if you follow Maz on Twitter, you're subjected to that this morning. Apparently it's true. Murray, let me give you a little...
Good way to start the day.
Let me give you a little vocabulary quiz. You ready?
Sure.
Yeah. Do you know... I'm asking Murray. Define priapism.
Oh, it's when it stays up and won't go down.
Persistent and painful erection of the penis.
Yes.
Is what a priapism is.
This wasn't painful.
This was a par three priapism.
Has it gone down yet, Mez?
Nope. No, and I'm not expecting that it will for some time.
Okay, so go ahead, have your moment. Well, I gave you—you know—we gave you one off the top at 2 o'clock because we don't want to be distracted having to listen to your priapism down the line for 4 hours today. So we gave you some time there at two. But let's reset it. What happened? Tell me about the shot.
So it was the par three. I didn't say it on the video because I was so geeked up I couldn't spit it out straight. It was the par three third hole is what I meant to say. And, I have a laser, so I shot it 161, played slightly uphill.
Of course you do. You have a gadget. Yep, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I like to be precise, as you know. To me, it's all about precision. So I grabbed a 7-iron, took what I would call a perfect swing, struck the ball purely. And I lost it off the club. There was some glare in the sky behind the pin. And so I said, I don't know where it is. And John Gamlin, who is works for Aaron's, he's an Aaron's client, was with myself and Eric Lipsky, our sales guy. Not that you need to know all this, but I'm going to tell you anyway.
We really
and Mark Swift was also along.
Okay, great.
And I picked the ball up in flight. It took one bounce and then, had some serious action on it. And, bit a little bit and then rolled into the cup. And the greenskeepers were kind enough because they heard us say, they heard us kind of go, whoa, and make a big noise because it looked like it went in. We couldn't tell 100%. And there were some groundskeepers up there that ran up to the top and confirmed that it had indeed rolled into the cup.
Okay, you play a cut or a draw?
Actually, I hit this one pretty much dead straight, but I typically play a little bit of a high draw. I mean, as you would expect, it's when I hit it right, it looks perfect.
And so now will you take the ball and have it framed? Will it be kept for the rest of your life? Are you going to put it somewhere so you can always look at it and have that twinkle in your eye?
Well, so that's an interesting question, Murray, because normally I would say yes, but in all the excitement, I shanked it into the woods on the seventh hole.
Oh, you dummy.
Right, so I was going to say, what did you do on the next hole?
On the next hole, I made a bogey, but my next swing was actually quite good. I blasted a tee ball. And then it was my second swing after that that I kind of hit a little duck hook up towards the front of the green.
What'd you shoot on today?
87.
Okay, so again, I asked you this earlier. I'll ask you again. Would you rather shoot a 77 with no ace or the 87 with the ace?
I'll take the 77 every time. Ugh. Every single time.
Agreed.
However, I will say, because I have said numerous times that, holes in one are generally pretty fluky. But I will say in this particular case, there wasn't really anything fluky about it. This thing was downright picturesque and majestic, if you want to know the truth.
And so, most golfers go to their graves, Maz, as you know, not hitting a hole in one, especially one that you're actually proud of and you feel like it wasn't fluky. And I'm literally legitimately upset that you shanked that ball. You should have put the ball in your pocket and had the thing framed.
Well, don't worry, Murray. We can always fake that part of it. I know what kind of ball it was. So we can always just throw another one in there and tell people that it was the actual ball. More importantly, there was a significant shift in the balance of power in the Maserati household, I'll have you know. My wife, as you know, I think I've shared with you that my wife actually had a hole-in-one many years ago on a short par three where she sculled it off the tee. It hit the flag stick on the fly and dropped straight down into the hole. So I've had to live with that shame. That shame for the last 6 or 7 years, however many years it's been. And I am now happy to say that I have reclaimed my pants in the Maserati household. The pants now belong to me.
I can't remember, Stu. We mentioned this before. Maz has gone on these rants where, he thinks there's these great sporting accomplishments that are completely useless. He thinks hitting for the cycle, it started with the cycle.
Correct.
He's got this thing about hitting for the cycle in baseball, completely useless. He thinks no hitters are useless. He thinks triple doubles in basketball are useless. Hat tricks in hockey, useless. I can't remember. Like this whole list of useless things in sports, he's gone on these rants about him. I can't remember. How did he feel about the hole in one, Stu? Did he think the hole in one was useful or useless?
Useless.
Do we have evidence of this?
Yes, you guys made fun of Hardy a few years ago.
Well, let's hear it. We have this thing in baseball where we go back and forth about things, or you do. You have this certain list about things that are meaningful and things that are worthless.
Wow. Yeah, correct, right. Yeah,
For example, the no-hitter.
Worthless.
Okay.
Perfect game, valuable.
Okay, hitting for the cycle.
Oh, God, complete and utterly worthless.
Right, so we have this thing back and forth. A 20-strikeout game.
Absolutely valuable. Yep, that has meaning.
Okay. Here's another one for your list.
Okay.
Hole in one.
One of them or multiple? One, a single hole in one?
A hole in one.
Worthless.
But if you've, put up a couple on the board, then they're meaningful?
Yeah, it's like a no-hitter. Like Nolan Ryan had 7 no-hitters. There's nothing fluky about that. I mean, you can repeat it. Now we're doing something here. You do it once, you get a horseshoe stuck between your pillows.
Hardy.
Yeah.
Hole in one.
Yeah.
Useless or worthwhile?
Well, I would say...
Has it gone down yet?
I would say useful. And since I've had 2 of them now...
Yeah, 25 years apart.
Hey, how many have you had?
0.
Exactly.
Exactly, which proves that it's worthless.
But of course it's useful. You put a 1 on the scorecard. If you birdie a par 3, it's useful. You don't get too many 2s on your scorecard.
What did you shoot?
Phenomenal.
What did you shoot?
150.
No, what did you shoot?
93.
You shot a 93.
I did not play well.
But still the hole in one? As you would say.
Yeah, let me do that for you. Hold on.
But I was stroking on that hole, so I actually...
What would you rather
netted
be?
You netted
stroking after the hole is what you were doing.
Yeah. Oh, no, he's still stroking.
Congrats, Hardy.
Thank you.
Okay, I just wanted to clear that, though. The hole in one, please.
Poor Hardy.
What'd you shoot? You shot in the 90s? Who gives a rat's ass?
I was just going to... My material is exactly the same.
4 years ago, same spots.
Same joke, material, same question, same material. It's like, I just keep repeating myself.
Well, people don't go to see Leonard Skinner and not expect to hear Freebird,
right,
you know?
There you go.
Yeah.
You got a few...
You play the hits.
A few good lines. Just repeat them. Go ahead.
Just for the record, my opinion hasn't changed. Hardy's hole-in-one sucked. Mine was good.
It's all about that final number. Why? I probably quit the game. I only cared about that number. What was my number coming off the course? I counted every shot. Never.
I should have shot about 8 strokes lower than I did today. I think I 3-putted like 6 or 7 times.
Now we're getting way too much information. Do you care about Masters Golf Game,
care.
Murray?
Not
Do you
a
care?
Bit.
Not okay.
8 a.m. Saturday mornings, Hardy's Golf Club. I'm sure he'll be happy to take your call.
If you want to stroke it with Maz, by all means, you can. But we're talking about this Patriots poll. Speaking of a poll, not Maz's poll, after that hole-in-one today, the Athletic poll on Tom Brady, and, this thing, too. How are the Patriots feeling? What do the Patriots think their offense is going to be without Tom Brady? What do the Patriots think? We got a really big clue on that this morning. We'll play that sound coming back, and then we'll react to it right after this.
Boston's home for sports. Filger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Mike Felger, Tony Maserati, making your afternoon commute better.
Throw some, Felger. How about a mea culpa? You are wrong. Running backs do matter.
Or worse.
I wouldn't pay him.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Let's bring Mike Reese into the conversation. Mike, because you had a piece on ESPN.com that suggested that looking ahead, the Patriots offense might actually be better without Tom Brady. What in the world does that mean?
Well, Greeny, you know, talking to people around the Patriots, there's an acknowledgement that it's going to be hard to match what they had at quarterback with Tom Brady, arguably, you know, the greatest of all time. But the thought process is that if they can just get solid play at the quarterback position and then improve in several other areas, the totality of the offense could be more efficient. And here's something for you. Last year, Tom Brady led the NFL with 33 throwaways. Now, that's not all on Tom Brady, but a reflection that the overall offense didn't always get what it was hoping to out on the field. So they hope that it's going to be Jarrett Stidham. He's been leading some of these throwing sessions that some of the players on offense have had here outside of Boston, and it's an approach that's similar to really 2001 when Brady was a young quarterback taking over in New England.
So again, I haven't heard every report every day from every guy, and I've been off a couple days here and there. So I'm, if this has been said by somebody, then I'd, you know, then fine. But it's the first time I've heard a reporter, a embedded Patriots reporter, say the Patriots believe that the totality of their offense will be more efficient without Tom Brady. Again, he doesn't just flat out say the offense will be better without Tom Brady. He parses it a little bit because the Patriots got off to a heck of a start last year. 8-0 to start the year. They were blowing some teams out. They wound up finishing 7th in the league in points. 7th in the league, 26.3 points per game. And I think the Patriots probably look at that and say, well, are we going to average between 25 and 30 points a game? Probably not. So it'll be hard to say that when you look at, you know, those big metrics, that will be a better offense. But so that's why he says the totality of the Patriots offense would be more efficient without Tom Brady. The Patriots believe that. The people he's talked to with the Patriots, but it's not just some hot take artist. It's not some anti-Bradyite. It's not some, you know, cartel member saying this is my opinion. This is, no, this is how the team feels. The team feels they can be better without Tom Brady, Mass. And again, Reese parses it by saying the totality of the offense would be more efficient. But would it surprise you if Belichick thinks they could actually be better with a different quarterback than Tom Brady?
No, it wouldn't surprise me in the least bit. And I think there's a chance he's right. I mean, I felt this way for some time now, and you know, it's interesting to hear it coming out of Foxborough because, you know, I agree with him. I look at it and say the way the offense was running at the end of last year was not right. And again, they had lots of issues. It wasn't just Brady; they had offensive line, young receivers, the whole nine yards. But I do think that Brady's disconnect with the young receivers, and I mean that on the field and off, like just he's on a different plane, different level. So it didn't work. I think it was a huge factor. And in the second half of the year, their offense wasn't good. So now, I don't think this group is going to finish 7th in the league in points. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think it's realistic. But if you were to tell me what they're trying to do on the field looks better, it looks more cohesive, it looks more, for lack of a better word, efficient than what we saw at the end of last year, yeah. Yeah, I think that there's a real possibility that is true, yes.
And I, too, think that there's a possibility there, you know, and I'd like to think that Stidham, not Hoyer, but it's just the whole thing lacked continuity, especially that last month, month and a half of the season, and it's a lot to what Maz was saying. Those young guys, those receivers like Jacoby Myers, they were too tight because they were afraid of disappointing Brady, and it's not like he put in any extra work with them. So, I don't know, they got a better flow going with Stidham, and I can see how this thing could look a little bit better and flow a little bit better than it did last year.
And Mike, I'm sorry, let me just add quickly that this is where I do blame Brady, that I don't think Brady was really at all interested in closing or bridging that disconnect. I think that he said, well, that's it, and he threw his hands up and he was done with it. In the past, I think he would have found ways or tried to find ways to make it work, and they would have settled on something better, and it would have looked better by the end of the year. 2006, and I hate to go all the way back to that, that receiving core blew. That was bad. That was a bad receiving core with Doug Gabriel, and that was a load of crap that they had back then. And by the end of the year, it was working.
Because Brady was fully invested.
Yeah, I just think that he was more willing to bridge the gap. And they were able to effectively find a way to at least make it work pretty well. He wasn't interested this time, and that's the biggest thing I hold him accountable for.
Yeah, so Reese mentions the league-leading number of throwaways last year. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if Belichick blames Brady for the majority of them, or, you know, blames Brady for a bunch of them. You know, certainly not all of them. I don't know if it's a majority, if it's over half of them. But I bet you Belichick looks at it and says, with a different quarterback, I bet you we're not wasting so many plays. And, you know, what is it? Is that connection with the receivers? Is that what you're talking about? Is that what Bill believes? You know, I sort of defer. I think a guy who has gotten Belichick's ear and has certainly promoted his side of things, what I think is Tom Keegan. He's a writer there for the Herald. And Tom Keegan, remember, I went back and looked at this. You know, Keegan wrote on March 9th, 2 weeks before free agency, handing the reins to Jared Stidham, intriguing option for the Patriots. This is when Brady was still undecided or still had not announced. Free agency had not begun. Brady was still the odds-on favorite to return to New England. Everyone thought at the end of the day he would return to New England. Most people thought that. And Tom Keegan wrote on March 9th, handing the reins to Stidham, an intriguing option for the Patriots. And in that story, here's what Keegan wrote. That other factors into the equation, such as, not so long ago, Tom Brady made below average receivers average, average ones above average ones terrific. But at this point in his career, so close to the finish line, Brady appears to have lost that quality. He's not as accurate, and his patience for receivers not knowing the offense nearly as well as he does dwindles in lockstep with the amount of time he has left in his career. Keegan writes that through no fault of his own, the blame will always fall entirely on the pass catchers when chemistry problems surface. So the storyline becomes that receivers brought onto the roster are busts when they don't click with Brady. First round draft choice, N'Keal Harry, not fast enough and doesn't know the offense. All his fault. Or so sings the chorus. Mohamed Sanu can't get on the same page as Brady. Not the other way around, of course. So even if Brady takes less money, and this is back before he signed, say $20 million, from the Pats than he thinks he can get elsewhere, it's worth wondering if he can develop necessary chemistry with newcomers brought in with the savings. So Keegan had this nailed because I think he's got Belichick's ear. I think this is exactly how Belichick feels. So back to those throwaways. How come they have so many throwaways? Because Brady doesn't trust his receivers. He's not on the same page with them. He's not putting the work with them in the first place. But even if he does, he doesn't believe in him, and he's not investing in him. And so he goes back. He doesn't trust that N'Keal Harry or these guys are going to run the right route, so he just chucks it into the stands and kills the play and goes on to the next one. And the Patriots think with a quarterback fully invested in his receiving core on the same page, those throwaways become completions or at least attempts to make a play, and they're a better offense because of it. I guarantee you that's how Belichick feels.
Oh, definitely.
Let's find out.
And again, and that doesn't even include the idea that, let's say a guy's not open, and this isn't, you know, anything Brady can control, but maybe Stidham runs and picks up a few yards. I mean, to me, Mike, how many times did it feel like when you talk about the throwaways, if Brady's first option wasn't there, he just whipped it into the ground?
Yeah.
Like, and look, again, I'm not telling you that that's always the wrong play, because you certainly would rather do that than force it and throw a pick. But his body language, his level of, you know, commitment to the young guys and the passing game, to me, was not as high as it had been in the past.
Okay, can the Patriots have a better offense without Tom Brady? They think so. And Mike Reese just told you. They think so, regardless of some pundit thinks. They think so. And I've seen him do it before. I've seen Belichick take a big drop in talent from player X to player Y and still be a better team because of it. He did it with Randy Moss. Dropped Randy Moss, brought in an old Deion Branch, and they got better. I saw him do it with Darrell Revis. Let Darrell Revis walk out the door, and they return with, was it Malcolm Butler then or whatever? They were just as good, if not better. I've seen him do it a million times at a million different positions. Now he thinks he can do it at quarterback, as you write. And this is another reason why. This is what he always wanted. He's responsible for Brady being gone. Don't give me, back to the poll, don't give me this blameless situation. We don't live in that world. Someone's responsible for Brady being a Tampa Bay effing Buccaneer. Who is it? We'll pick up that conversation, whatever else you want, after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Helplinema.org.